You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We have an update on the disasters taking place in recently took place in Southern California and LCMS disaster response in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour, Ross.
Good morning.
Thanks for being our guest, and we appreciate your time. I know it's been a busy couple of weeks for you, just all the people you've had the opportunity to interact with over the last couple of weeks in response to the fire. Tell us a little bit about your recent visit to Southern California, what you saw, and the devastation from the fire.
Last weekend, I was in Southern California, Los Angeles, and we have two churches that are very close to the fires. One is in Santa Monica, and the other one is in Palisades. The church in Palisades is not accessible, and it won't be accessible for the coming weeks because it was literally in the heart of where the fire was. Thankfully, this church and the parsonage are still standing, and that's a blessing because the vast majority of the community in the Palisades is gone, and the entire community is going to be rebuilding. The next closest church is in Santa Monica. A lot of the members in the church in Santa Monica, Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Santa Monica, had members that were homeowners in the Palisades that were unfortunately lost their homes. They had a joint service between the Lutheran Church in the Palisades and Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Santa Monica. And it was beautiful to see the pastors. They got together, did a joint service, both did some preaching and teaching, and all the members from both churches were there together. And it was a beautiful example of our unity in faith, unity in Christ, unity in the confessions. And it was a time of healing. And one thing that we saw after this disaster is when you go through a natural disaster or a wildfire, something like that, it's not just stuff. It is also a spiritual crisis that you're going through. And it was so healing for the members to be able to get together and worship. Some of those things we kind of take for granted. But when we go through the trials and tribulations and the scary things of life, all of a sudden, when you've lost everything, the things of faith are the things that are important to you. And it was neat to see that kind of that faith lived out by all the members showing up together and worshiping and saying, this is really what we need at this time.
What makes this disaster different than or unique among the rest of the disasters that you've responded to? This is we don't often talk about wildfire disaster when we talk with you.
Yeah, wildfire disasters are kind of unique. After a flood, there's an opportunity that we can bring in a lot of volunteers. After a tornado, bring in volunteers that we can do chainsaw work. After a fire, in a house is completely nothing but ashes and maybe a brick chimney, there's not a whole lot for volunteers to do. So our response looks different. And also when you have a whole community that is burnt down and rebuilding, the rebuilding is slower. You don't have people living in that community. It's going to take a few years for the Palisades and some of these areas in California to be rebuilt. They're all custom homes. They're not tract homes. There's complexities in California as you're building on hillsides to be able to get the engineering, the permits and everything. But we do have that church that it's a foothold in the community. And although we're not going to be bringing in mass volunteers to rebuild and things like that, what we are able to do is care for people spiritually. And that church is positioned to be a beacon of the gospel in that community as it rebuilds around it. There was damage to the church insofar as it's gone through over a week of being surrounded by smoke. There's going to be a need for it to be completely repainted inside out. Any fabric, any carpeting is going to need to be replaced. We need to get the parsonage repaired and things like that. But we are thankful that the church is standing, and that when the community builds back in these coming years, that the Lutheran church will be there. Hmm.
You mentioned that this isn't something that's just going to rebuild very quickly. You know, in some of the other disasters, we're able to just go in and clean out and maybe fix some things that have been broken. This is total devastation. It's going to be a much longer path to rebuilding. What's the long-term outlook then in terms of disaster response from the congregation and LCMS disaster response from Synod and District? What's that partnership look like and what's a long-range picture for that?
Yeah, so this is going to be a long-term response for us. Going into 2-3 years, we're going to be working on projects, and the project is really going to kind of come along as far as what we're going to be doing in the coming months, not coming days alone. And that's a unique thing that we do as a church. We work through LCMS congregations whenever there's a disaster. For example, in this situation, we're working through the Lutheran church right there in the middle of the fire area. It was there before the disaster struck. It literally went through the disaster with its community. And we're hoping that that church will be there for many, many decades into the future. And so it gives us a platform or an opportunity as the Lutheran church to not just give a short-term response or some bottles of water and then leave. We're going to see that this disaster will soon be forgotten in the eyes of the media, and most people won't care about it anymore. But we as the Lutheran church will be responding and caring for people spiritually and their souls and their community for many years to come, based on the generous donations that we're getting right now.
What has that response looked like in partnership with the Pacific Southwest District? I mean, it's still fairly recent, but what are some of the things that, you've been able to do in partnership with the district so far?
So as we're talking right now, the fires are just getting under control. Ash is still literally falling on the community. So it's hard to build any kind of long-term response and have in mind right now exactly what that's going to look like, mm-hmm. because there's so many unknowns. But one thing that we want to do is make sure that that Lutheran church is a center of outreach into their community. And so we're having conversations thinking, how do we utilize that church that's one of the only buildings standing as an outreach right now? The other thing that we're doing is we're thinking about church worker care. Mm-hmm. The pastor that was serving that church in the surrounding churches, these pastors are also victims. We have pastors that are living in a temporary housing and in hotels. We're thinking about how do we fund a place for them to live, getting them an apartment. In California, it's extremely expensive, but we want him to be close to his community so that he's caring for his members. So there's multiple things that we're thinking of. Temporary housing for pastors. How do we get aftercare? They've kind of gone through the trauma, the tragedy of this disaster. How do we make sure that we're not burning out our church workers during times like this? So these are some of the ideas that we're thinking in. Evangelism and outreach. Also some homeowner support as people are transitioning. They're living all throughout the Southern California community, trying to get temporary housing. In Southern California, there's a significant housing shortage. So how do we get people and members into that temporary housing? And then how do we keep them connected, even if they're living outside of the Palisades? How do we make sure that we're following up with those members and making sure that they're attending church and we're keeping track of them?
I think we've established that wildfires are a bit of a unique disaster and kind of something we haven't really worked with a lot in disaster response, maybe some in the past. But what is it that you've been able to learn through this experience, through visiting and working with the local congregation? What are some things you're learning that might be helpful for the future when looking at a disaster like this?
Most of the disasters that happen with wildfires are on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's where we have some of our smaller congregations, so they don't have as many capacities. And also, it's a stretch from where our alert volunteers are. But one thing that we've been doing is looking for people that fall through the cracks in wildfire responses. The government's really good at kind of helping out the mainstream community, the mainstream middle-class community. But those who are impoverished, those who are very young, those who are very old, those who work in the service industry, a lot of times are overlooked in times of disaster. And we as the church, we can kind of see those who fall through the cracks because we are in that community. And it gives us opportunity to reach out to those who are underserved in the community or ignored. And that's one thing that we as Christians have historically done for 2,000 years. We've seen those who are overlooked by the world that are suffering, and then we go to them and we reach out to them. Every disaster is a little bit different. Every community is different. Unfortunately, there's no cookie cutter in the sense that, you know, we can just kind of stamp out a response and it always looks the same. Mm-hmm. That's where we kind of have to know our community, know our assets and the people that we have in this community so that we can make sure that we tailor the right response for the right community at the right time after the right disaster.
You mentioned the joint worship service that happened between the Palisades Lutheran community and the Pilgrim Lutheran in Santa Monica. How else have you seen the Lutheran community in Southern California come together after this response to really bring that hope of Christ to people who need it?
One thing about this disaster, it's fairly close to the district office, and the mm-hmm. district staff is very tight-knit. The district president has been giving great supervision and great guidance and pastoral care to the pastors, to the leaders in the district, and everybody just kind of surrounding, following up with the other pastors that are affected. The other pastors in the circuits closest to the fires have been just super supportive. That's one thing that they have going on and they're doing really well, is that pastoral care, good communication, not with just the members, the community, the congregations, the synod. Everything's going very well because of the leadership at the district level there.
And we'll talk with the mission executive from Pacific Southwest District, Pastor Rivkin, in just a little bit as well, and get his perspective on what's going on with disaster response there in Southern California. How can we follow, be informed about what the needs are, opportunities to give and support LCMS disaster response and the work happening in Southern California?
Two ways to be connected with the work that we're doing. One is our website. It's lcms.org/disaster. Once again, lcms.org/disaster. And then we're also posting pictures of the disaster on our Facebook site, which is LCMS Disaster Response on Facebook. And you can see we're posting articles, reporter articles about the work that's being done, interviewing, and it's a great way to stay connected is with the reporter and the reporter online.
Very good. lcms.org/disaster. You can also find LCMS Disaster Response, is that right, on Facebook? You can find it there and see some photos of what's happening as well. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. We'll share more about disaster response in Southern California in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Only 750 of over 7,000 languages spoken in the world have the full Bible. Lutheran Bible Translators wants to help close the gap in this generation. We can do this with your help. Connect your congregation to the global church by hosting a Bible Translation Sunday, an advocacy event that raises awareness about Bible translation. Lutheran Bible Translators provides ready-to-use service elements, a sermon outline, and more, all designed to fit your church's schedule. Join the movement of Lutheran churches committed to bringing God's Word to every language. Visit lbt.org/bts to learn more and sign up for a Bible Translation Sunday. That's lbt.org/bts.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're continuing our conversation on disaster response in Southern California. Joining us now, the Reverend Dominic Rivkin. He's mission executive for the LCMS Pacific Southwest District. Pastor Rivkin, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Oh, thanks for having me, Andy.
Thanks for spending some time with us. I know that it's a busy time for you and the district in responding to the needs in your district. Help us understand more about the LCMS Pacific Southwest District. Geographically, what territory does the Pacific Southwest District cover?
Yeah, we cover a broad area from Santa Barbara down to the Mexico border, all of Southern California, then the whole state of Arizona and Southern Nevada as well, all Clark County, Nevada.
That is quite a large area for you.
Large area, large population. We estimate about 38 million people in our district. So it's a very large, diverse population as well.
Yeah, definitely. Spanning a few states, a lot of geography there. How many congregations, how many Lutherans are in this area?
So there's about 300 congregations in the Pacific Southwest District and 150 schools. We actually have, I think, the largest amount of schools in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Yeah. So education is definitely an integrated part of our ministry as well.
That's really fascinating and really awesome to have all of that Lutheranism going on in the Pacific Southwest District. Now, we're talking about the fires that affected Southern California, the LA area. and all of the disaster response happening in that area. Can you describe for us just the geographic area, the size of the area that was impacted by these fires?
Yeah, for many of your listeners, if they're listening and familiar with St. Louis, for instance, picture an area from Clayton all the way through to the other side of East St. Louis, and the north from Granite City down to Cahokia, that entire area, that would be the Palisades Fire acreage, the one that's in Los Angeles City. And then the Eaton Fire is almost as large. These are very large geographic areas.
So that, I mean, geographically, that is a large area and a lot of people impacted.
A lot of people.
As well, by that. How would you describe the communities that were impacted? What were these communities like before the fires?
The Palisades, for instance, is a very unique community. It is it's an extremely wealthy zip code in the area of even Los Angeles. So that area has always been known for a large amount of people that are involved in the entertainment industry and that type of thing. And the congregations there have had regular interactions with that population. So that area is again, an area of high wealth, houses that are beautiful, beautiful homes. Some of the members that I know that lost their homes have beautiful houses there. But then there's also a population there that have been there for a long time. And you know, your average workaday individuals who live in the same neighborhood. The Eaton Fire near Pasadena is more of a mixed population. As you get up into the hills, you get into some of those higher dollar properties. But some of the areas in Altadena, there are families there, again, multi-generational families that are displaced through this fire.
How common are wildfires? I mean, we live in, at least I live in the Midwest here. Wildfires aren't really a thing that crosses the mind for me, at least in my daily life. What is the risk? What is the kind of the mindset around wildfires for somebody living in Southern California?
Yeah, I guess I'm again, originally from the Midwest, and I remember two seasons in the Chicago area, winter and construction. Yes. In California, it's construction and wildfire.
Okay.
So wildfires are very common, actually, in our areas. We live in an area that increasingly the population has moved up into the hills, and these are hill areas that are notoriously dry and full of chaparral and brush, and one little spark can set off a situation like we saw in these last fires.
What do we know about the LCMS congregation, schools, and families affected by the fire? Mm-hmm. Pastor Johnson shared with us a little bit about two of the congregations in the area. Tell us more about the congregations and how they've served the communities for a while.
Yeah, these congregations are historic congregations. So the place where, for instance, my family, we hold our membership at Pilgrim Lutheran in Santa Monica. That congregation has been around since the 1920s. It is a historic congregation in the city of Santa Monica. It went through its own disasters in the Northridge earthquake. Much of their sanctuary had been destroyed and rebuilt, and it became quite an institution in that community. The congregation in the Palisades as well has been there for a long, long time and serving that community really well in what are very difficult ministry contexts. Here on the West Coast, we kind of have a different context anyway. But these particular areas of very high wealth and those types of things, it's a challenge to do ministry in these areas. And these congregations, along with others like First Lutheran in Venice and First Lutheran in Culver Palms and Mount Calvary, Beverly Hills, they've done a really good job for years in a very difficult ministry context.
So what is the impact on the families in these areas? I mean, we know that the most of the housing is gone. What does that mean for the families that are in this area, the families connected to these congregations?
Yeah, the honest answer is we don't know. We don't know what it means. It's the only parallel we could see would be in an area like the Lahaina fires in Hawaii, where you see a complete devastation of a community in which there's nothing left. When we look at the aerial photos of the Palisades in particular, you see that where there's just nothing standing. So what it will look like long-term to rebuild the community is yet to be determined and a multi-year process. Along with that, then, is just a return to the population in the area. The population here, many people came down off the hill during the evacuations, and they're scattered in and around Los Angeles area, San Fernando Valley, all the way down to Orange County, many members that maybe won't come back to the area. So the long-term impact is going to be challenging, but it's also an incredible missional opportunity to reach people with the gospel, people who stay and people who will then come into the area, maybe as new residents.
Knowing that this is going to be a very long process of recovery from this disaster and rebuilding, how are the LCMS congregations in the area and the district responding to the needs of the community? And what does that look like for the long term? Because I know that this is going to be a long process.
Yeah, it's a long process. So right now, you know, obviously everything is still very fluid and very fresh. And we're really working in those areas of very fresh trauma. So the idea is to gather people together in the best way that we can and to offer the kind of just active listening ear and comfort of the gospel in a situation where people have lost everything else. The one thing they haven't lost is the truth that Christ is here for us always. So that's the main focus right now, is that kind of community care. We're working with Lutheran Church Charities in multiple locations for spiritual first aid training, first of all, for a lot of the members who are there and how to listen and what to say or not to say, but then also community care events. So the comfort dogs and all of those types of things, really just to give people space to know that somebody loves them, somebody is listening, and to point them to the greater love that we have in Christ. And that's really the core of what we're doing right now.
How is the district supporting the church workers that have been affected, the pastors and other church workers in these congregations and communities?
Now, currently, right now, there are really only two church workers directly affected. So Reverend Dr. Martin Lee, who is the pastor of Palisades Lutheran Church, obviously he is displaced from both his parsonage and his congregation. So really coming alongside of him as a brother pastor, and our LA circuits met yesterday all together in prayer and support around Pastor Lee to offer whatever it is that we can to ensure that he's okay spiritually and his family is okay, but then also his congregation as well, anything we can offer. Pilgrim Lutheran is partnering very closely with Palisades on spiritual care and worship space and all those types of things. Alongside of that is retired pastor, the pastor emeritus at Palisades, a gentleman named R.Z. Meyer. And if there's one godfather of the church in Los Angeles, it's R.Z. Meyer. He's in his late 90s. R.Z. and Carrie are the sweetest people, and they lost their home to 50 years up in the Palisades. So I was with him on Monday with Pastor Johnson and the team, and it was a wonderful time just to hear his perspective. Here's somebody who's been around disasters for a long, long time. And for him to say, you know what, but ultimately the one thing that can't be taken away is our faith in Christ Jesus, and to hold on to that. So I think Pastor Meyer is more ministering to us than that we get the opportunity to minister to one another in Pastor Lee.
What a witness to a trusting faith in what Christ has done for them. And it sounds like you're given opportunities to share this good news of Christ with those who are impacted. I'm sure connecting with them and finding them, you know, for to be able to find them, those who have been displaced, is going to be a challenge for quite a while, hopefully, as you're able to gather together around the word and God's good gifts. That's great that you have the neighboring congregation to welcome and support those who have been displaced. How can we stay informed and respond to what the needs are? What are the needs, and how can we find out more information about that?
That's a great question, Andy. And really, the direction that we are encouraging all people to go is to the website for the district, which is www.psd-lcms.org. That website is refreshed multiple times a day with any type of new information, but then also opportunities to serve as well. This is an unusual disaster, but when we're talking about things like tornado and flood and those types of things, there's some very physical help that can be given. Here with fire, not so much at this point. So we're really looking more towards monetary donations, being able to help people with support of interim housing and those immediate needs there. And the district is a holding place for that. So As donations come in, they go right out to our partners to do the work on the ground. Palisades Lutheran Church, their website as well, is a great resource for both information and for direct help. Palisades Lutheran will need support, obviously, to do rehabilitation to the building, but then just their ministry costs, their average day-to-day ministry costs need support as well, as they lost two tenants that were at their building that were helping to support their ministry. So we have to think about those types of things as well.
The district website again, psd-lcms.org. You can find more information about disaster response there. Our guest today, the Reverend Dominic Rivkin, Mission Executive for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Pacific Southwest District. Thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour. Thanks for the update. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you both as well.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.